Welcome to the Shiur and Maral Guralye, Parshas Vayetze. 2 weeks ago, we saw where the Maharal takes issue with Rashi because he feels that Rashi misrepresents a Medrash Chazal, as Rashi presents the Medrash in a certain way. The Medrash, the way the Maral understands it, actually says something else. So here too, we're going to go through an interesting example in the Maharal, where the Maharal is looking to explain a Rashi. Rashi is ultimately based on a Medrash, and the Maharal's understanding is that Rashi's presentation of the Medrash and what the Medrash actually says, in the Maharal's opinion, are not exactly the same. What's very striking about tonight is that the Maharal spends time explaining Rashi's approach, that explaining the Medrash's approach, and the different approaches in their own right are both quite fascinating. So,
thank you.
So Yaakov Avinu has his famous dream with the Sula Musa Arsa Verosha Magia Shamaima, that he sees the ladder is on the ground, the head of the ladder reaches the heavens. He has that famous dream in the very beginning of the Parsha. And then Perek Chavches Pasuk Yitzayin, after waking up, Vayira Vayomar, he was afraid, and he said, Manora Hamakom Hazeh, how awesome is this place? Ein Zekim Beis Elohim, this place is none other than the house of God, Vezeh Shar HaShomoyim, and this is the gateway to heaven. So says the Pasuk. Thanks, Rashi. Amar Rav Elazar is the same Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra. Rashi starts out quoting the Medrash, the Medrash and Brachos Rabba directly. Rav Elazar says in the name of Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra, Hasulam hazeh omeid v'de'er sheva, this ladder was anchored in Be'er Sheva, the shikuo magia keneged beit hamikdash, and the incline of the ladder was opposite the Beit HaMikdash. What does that mean? Shadeir Sheva Omeh Bidromo Shal Yehuda Shal Bidromo Shal Yehuda, the Beit Sheva was south of Yehuda. Yushalayim Bitzvono Bidvul Shaden Yehuda Binyamin. Right? So Beit Sheva was at the southernmost part of the Nachala of Yehuda. Yushalayim is at the northernmost part of the Nachala of Yehuda, was on the fault line between Yehuda and Binyamin. Ubeisel hoyo bitzvon, so Nachlas Binyamin, the Gvusha ben Binyamin ben Yosef. Beisel, in contrast, was at the northern part of the Nachala of Binyamin, on the fault line between the Shevet of Binyamin and where the Bnei Yosef were. So says Rashi, in explaining this message, this is now Rashi, Nimso Sulam Shiraglov Bizeer Sheva, Virosho Bizeisel, Magia Emso Shipua Neged Yerushalayim. So explains Rashi, so since the bottom of the ladder is in Be'er Sheva, which is at the southernmost tip of the Nachlas Yehuda, and the top of the ladder is in Beisel, which is the northernmost part of the Nachal of Binyamin, so right in the middle, more or less, is Yerushalayim, which is on the fault line between the Nachal of Yehuda and the Nachal of Binyamin. So approximately the middle of the ladder corresponds to the Beit HaMikdash and Yerushalayim. In other words, if one can imagine this image of a ladder that he saw, Yerushalayim is Keneged Shipuo, right, which according to Rashi's interpretation, Yerushalayim is opposite the middle incline of the ladder, right in the middle of the ladder. What's that? Right, but I guess where he saw the Rosh from his perspective, it was opposite Beisel. In other words, you know, Shemayim is up in the heavens, but if the ladder is on an angle, you know, from his perspective, where's the top as far as he can see? So if you drop a plumb line from the top of the ladder down, you would hit Beis Hamikdash. That's the way Rashi is explaining the Medrash.
That's the other end also,
right. In other words, everything is, you know, what he perceives as being. So the Maral, in commenting on this Rashi, asks as follows. The Kosha. Mike Dushoso shall emsa hasulam Very interesting. So according to Rashi, the middle of the ladder is the holiest part of the ladder. Right? The middle of the ladder is right smack over Yerushalayim, the Beit HaMikdash. What is it about the middle of the ladder that should give it such sanctity, such kedusha? Tishlama rosh hasulam or ragle hasulam b'makom hasulam sham omeid yesh kedusha. It stands to reason, says the Maharal, that the bottom of the ladder or the top of the ladder would have a special kind of kedusha associated with them. Why is that? So Rabbi Hartman comments, kivam she'elu ha'mekom ha'ashuvim shebesulam. Since these are very clearly defined places, the beginning point and the end point of the ladder, it makes sense that they should have significance. But to say the holiest part of the ladder is somewhere sort of just floating around in the middle, I have a hard time with that. Right? What's the significance of the middle of the ladder? That should be the holiest place, Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash. So this, in fact, is the kasha that the Ramban has against Rashi's interpretation of this Medrash, and it's that kasha which the Maharal was going to set out to try to explain. So says the Maharal as follows. Kidas Rashi, it would appear that Rashi's understanding is Shehu Sover. He royally owes Beis HaMikdash Tachas Emsa HaSulam Neged Beis HaMikdash Shelamala. It appears to me, says the Maharal, that according to Rashi, it's by design that the middle of the Sulam is right over the place of the future Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, because that corresponds to the Beis HaMikdash Shelamala, the celestial Beis HaMikdash. How so? Actually, bear with me for a second. I'm actually going to skip this part of the Maharal, go on to a little bit further on in the Maharal, because I think it's just a little bit understandable. It makes sense that the Beis HaMikdash should be opposite the middle of the ladder. V'zeh ki ha'sulam ha'ya'omeg ba'ares v'rosho v'ashamayim. As the pasuk itself, their testimony to the sulam is oriented in such a way that the feet are on the ground, the head is up in the heavens. Lomar ki ha'olam ha'tachton kosher ba'elyonim v'olam ha'shamayim ha'kesulam ha'zeh she'esh madregos ba'. The significance of the ladder, says the Maharal, is to show that there is a point of connection between the Olam HaTachton, this earthly world, and the Olam HaElyon, the celestial world, the world of spirituality. The material world and the spiritual world are connected in some way like a sulam, by a ladder. And the same way that one ascends a sulam rung by rung, so too one can go from the material world and connect to the spiritual world rung by rung. V'hine lo haisa sulam omeid b'shoveh, lo gil l'chodover omok ma'od. V'zeshi ha'elyonim hem yosef b'malo u'v'madrego min ha'tachtonim, v'chach haisa sulam b'madregos olam min ha'tachtonim lo'elyonim. Okay, he talks a little bit about the positioning of the ladder, and then he says the following: Amnam Beis HaMikdash B'meshehu Beis Vad HaShchina B'Shom Yovo HaAdam Lavodes Hashem. To the extent to which the Beis HaMikdash is the place where the Shechina comes down, and a person is able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Beis HaMikdash, Yesh Bo Shnei Hashadim Mishyachet L'Alyonu V'Tachtonim. The Beit HaMikdash is equidistant from the celestial world, the spiritual world, and at the same time from the physical material world. Ba'chol shogim bo, and everyone has an equal connection to the Beit HaMikdash. V'lo yomru ha'elyonim lanu huzeh, v'meshu reshus b'nei adam bo. V'lo yomru b'nei adam lanu huzeh, v'meshu hu mikdash Hashem. Neither mankind nor the Olam HaElyonim, the spiritual realms, can lay full claim to the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash is meant to be a bridge between the Olam HaElyon and the Olam HaTachton. V'lachach roi shiyeh Beis HaMikdash Omei Tachat Emsa Shikua HaSulam Shasulam Hu Yishalpus Bein HaYon HaTachtonim Horech Vistad Otsad V'Beis HaMikdash Kolu V'Mishdeyam Tachat Emsa HaSulam V'lachach roi v'nachon shiyeh Beis HaMikdash Tachat Emsa HaSulam, says the Maral, the symbolism which Rashi is trying to convey through his understanding of the Medrash is that the Beis HaMikdash, the Davka, should be right in the middle of this ladder. By the Beis HaMikdash being in the middle of the ladder, it sends the message that the Beis HaMikdash is the bridge between the world of the spiritual and the world of the material. It's not at either extreme of the ladder. It's not entirely spiritual. It's not entirely material. It's the place where the spiritual and the material meet. And therefore, that's the significance of putting it exactly in the middle of the ladder. That's the Maral understands. That's, you know, not just the geography that Rashi is quoting from the Medrash, but sort of the ideology, the idea that Rashi is quoting from the Medrash. Umisayolon zavarze. There are proofs to this idea as well. If you look through Chazal, and he goes on to write as follows. Consider what's the significance in that light of the Ersheva on the one hand and Beisel on the other hand. So he writes, Umashi Ragway Hasulam Haryomdin the Ersheva, the Harosh the Beisel, Zel Riki Beersheva Humoko Meshubach Ba'oris Lakado Bracha, Kimoshi Roy Lakhton and Shane Kablin Bracha. You should know, says the Maral, that of all the places in Eretz Yisrael, the Ersheva is a particularly appropriate place in which material bracha can devolve. In other words, the Ersheva is a place where material blessing can exist. Rabbi Hartman points out that the source of this idea is a Zohar, that there's material bracha associated with the Ersheva. V'hoysosham bracha rovetzis tachas. And as Yaakov Avinu puts it in his final brachas to his children, the bracha of Rovetzes Tachas, of that which lurks underneath, is especially associated with Be'er Sheva. Ulfikach Hayasham bracha shel Be'eros. That's why we find in Chumash that people are constantly digging wells in Be'er Sheva. What's the idea of a well? The idea of a well is that one digs down and finds bracha, finds a wellspring, a source of material blessing, of water, which is able to, you know, to give material blessing to people. That which was the source of underground springs was a source of blessing. That was the place where the material world gave forth its blessing from underneath. So that's the significance of the Be'er Sheva. It's interesting, we know that Avraham Avinu was Noteya Eshel, the Be'er Sheva, Be'er Sheva. Whatever this Eshel was exactly, it was a place where he was able to share material bounty and goodness with the people who passed through Be'er Sheva. So that idea of material goodness, of bounty, is apparently associated with Be'er Sheva. It's the, you know, one of the best examples of the Olam HaTachton, of the material world, which one can put forward. That's why the legs of the ladder are in Be'er Sheva. That's, you know, the highest example of a place of, you know, where there's good materialism. So that's Be'er Sheva. In contrast, the place Beis El is a place that's associated with spirituality. I mean, just start with the name. Well, Tikach Nikra Beis El, the house of God. And in fact, we find in Chazal that the place Beis El, also called Luz, right, was the place where people didn't die. The Malach HaMavis, you know, was not allowed in to Beis El. So, again, the Gemara tells the famous story, how Shlomo HaMelech was aware of this. So he heard that two of his officers were slated for death. So he sent them off to Beis El, to Luz, where they could escape the clutches of the Malach HaMavis, and of course, you know, on the way to Luz, they encounter the Malach HaMavis, who, you know, sends a telegram to Shlomo HaMelech, thanking him for sending the people that he needed right into his hands you know, to be able to dispatch them to the next world. But, you know, implicit, the Gemara has this idea that in Beis El and Luz, there was no, the Malach HaMavis was not able to touch people. So why is that? So explains the Guraye, the Malach HaMavis, who the taxonim, right? The Malach HaMavis is all about the physicality of a person. It's all about, you know, removing the spirit from a person and reducing him to physicality. So by definition, a place like Beis El, which is all spirituality, in a sense, even more so than Yerushalayim, is a place where the Malach HaMavis doesn't have any shlita, it doesn't have any ability to, you know, to control people. So Beis El, the top of the ladder, is pure spirituality. Be'er Sheva, the bottom of the ladder, is the best of the material world. And it makes sense, therefore, that the Beis HaMikdash, which includes both the material and the spiritual, is the bridge between these two things. So that should be right in the middle of the ladder. The way to get from the material to the spiritual is by means of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the vision which, according to Rashi, is being displayed, you know, by this vision shown to Yaakov Avinu.
But it sounds a little bit like you're saying that Beis El is holier than the place of the...
Well, in a sense, yeah, not necessarily holier, but more spiritual. Right? In other words, I think the idea that the Maharal is developing over here is that you could have something which is more ruchni, but doesn't have more kedusha. Kedusha is not necessarily a function of pure ruchnius. You know, kedusha is something that, you know, functions in the material world. And to the extent to which the Beis HaMikdash is mechaber, it brings together the Olam HaRuchni and the Olam HaGashmi, that actually has more kedusha than Beis El, but Beis El is more of a spiritual place, you know, without the idea of materialism. Writes the Maral, everything I've just explained to you is good and it makes sense and it's true, mitzad atzmo, it's true in its own right. However, divrei gracious rabbo lo yisbol zeh. Everything I just explained to you, says the Maral, is a true idea, and it's a nice explanation in Rashi. The only problem is that Rashi is not really an accurate reflection of the Medrash in Bereishis Rabba. Kikach shom ha-Medrash. Let me recount the Medrash in its entirety. Amar Rav Yossi ben Zimra, Hasulam hazeh omed v'er sheva, v'shikuo magia beis hamikdash. Right? He first quotes the part of the Medrash that Rashi quotes. The ladder was anchored in Be'er Sheva, and Shipuo, its angle, reached up to the Beis HaMikdash. The Amar Reb Yehuda Bar Simon, but there's another part of the Medrash, says the Maharal, which Rashi didn't quote. Reb Yehuda Bar Simon goes on to say in that same Medrash, Hasulam hazeh omed v'Beis HaMikdash, the Shipuo magia ad Beis El. No, he disagrees. The ladder was anchored in the Beis HaMikdash, and the shipuo, the angle of the ladder, made it all the way to Beis El. So writes the Maral, "Velo amu shiasulam holech min Be'er Sheva ad Beis El." Nobody in the Medrash says that the ladder went from Be'er Sheva all the way to Beis El with Yerushalayim in the middle, the way Rashi presents it. No, Rashi Nomar Shas Cholas Hasulam Hu Be'er Sheva V'Sof Hu Be'Beis HaMikdash, or Has Cholas Be'Beis HaMikdash V'Sof Hu Be'Beis El. There's two different opinions, right? Rashi sort of takes the two different opinions and splices them together. It says to Maral, but that's not what the Medrash says. The Medrash has two separate opinions. One opinion that the Sulam goes from Be'er Sheva to the Beis HaMikdash. The other opinion that it goes from the Beis HaMikdash to Beis El. What seems to be at you know, a point of discussion, although it's not made explicit, is what does the word shipuo mean? That seems to be the all-important word. You know, the shipuo, you would translate as the angle of the ladder, but what does that mean exactly? Rashi understands shipuo kineged Beis HaMikdash means that the middle of the ladder, the midpoint of the ladder, you know, if you were to go at the point where it's leaning over, is opposite to Beis HaMikdash. But the way the Maral presents the Midrashim, the Medrash and Bereishis Rabbah, The term shipuo is used by the Medrash in the sense of the top of the ladder. You know, raglov the Be'er Sheva, shipuo the Beis HaMikdash. Raglov the Beis HaMikdash, shipuo the Beis El. In other words, shipuo means the top of the ladder, not the middle of the ladder, the way Rashi seems to understand it, but the top of the ladder. And says the Maharal, if you look in the Medrash, there are two dissenting opinions as to what the end points of the ladder were, and nobody holds that the two endpoints were Be'er Sheva and Beis El. You know, one of the endpoints was the Beis HaMikdash, and then the other endpoint was either Beis El or Be'er Sheva, but you know, they were not two endpoints together. And that also has significance, says the Maharal. Matam, why do you have this machlokas from the Medrash and Reishis Rabbah? Kivon shatachtonim nivdolim min ha'elyonim. As opposed to Rashi, who says that you can build a ladder that will go from the material world all the way up to the spiritual world, in other words, from Be'er Sheva all the way to Beis El, says the Maharal, no, but the Medrash doesn't support that idea ideologically. There's a fundamental chasm between the Olam HaElyon and the Olam HaTachton, and they can't be bridged. There can't be a ladder which is going to go all the way from Be'er Sheva to Beis El. It just doesn't work.
Could be Rashi merges the two, because from Be'er Sheva to Beis El is by not going to help. He didn't go for his spouse, he didn't go for his
wife. Ah, okay, so in Avraham Avinu's wife's son. Right.
That's what he may be.
Right. Right, but you still have a problem with the Medrash, according to the Maharal. The Medrash presents it as two different opinions. So that's what he says. The Maharal says, you know, the reason the Medrash does this is also, in a sense, the Medrash is arguing, as it were, with Rashi Hashkafa, both like Hashkafic debate, between the Medrash, the way the Maharal understands it, and the Medrash, the way Rashi understands it. Can you connect the Elyonim and the Tachtonim? Can you really do that? According to the Maharal, the Medrash says that Babur Shlo Yishtafu, you can't really put together the material world and the spiritual world in their entirety. In other words, you know, Yaakov Avinu saw one of two things. He either saw how one can progress in the material world until you get to the Beis HaMikdash, or he saw how you can progress from the Beis HaMikdash up until the highest rungs of spirituality. But to put the two of them together, it doesn't work. There's too far a gap between Be'er Sheva and Beis El. It's too far a gap from one to the other. The Rashi Shapir Shigradi Asulam to Be'er Sheva, but over Al Beis HaMikdash, Rosh Asulam to Beis El, Dover Shein Hadas, no thing came. Rosh is Bar Lamalo. That which Rashi says the Maharal, I don't think you can say that. Ein Hadas, no thing came. You can't say that the Sulam would be able to bridge those worlds to that extent. Right? So, therefore, Lachain Pirish Hanachar Hadas Rabu Seinu Zal, Kmosh Amaru Lamalo, the Medrash is correct. The ideas in Rashi perhaps are good ideas, meaning the idea that the Beis HaMikdash is a chibur between the Olam HaElyon and the Olam HaTachton. That I agree with, says the Maharal. But at a certain point, one has to acknowledge that, you know, it can't just be one ladder that goes all the way from one end to the next. And it's a very interesting example, like we said 2 weeks ago, of how the Maharal, when, you know, as much as he's writing a commentary on Rashi, he's not afraid at all to call out Rashi when he thinks that Rashi is against the Medrash, as he does in this particular case. Again, notwithstanding his tremendous, you know, respect, again, it's an understatement, but the tremendous admiration he has for Rashi. But the hashkafic machlokas, if you will, is also a fascinating machlokas. You know, can you really go from one extreme to the next? Can you really go in one ladder all the way from an Olam HaGashmi to an Olam HaRuchni? The Maharal is essentially saying within Chazal that, you know, you have to take two trips in order to do that. It's not so simple to get, you have to change trains in the middle. in order to get all the way from the Olam HaGashmi to the Olam HaRuchni, you can't just have one ladder going all the way up. It can't be a straight, uninterrupted ride. You know, to be able to go from materialism, pure materialism, to pure spirituality requires at least two trips, according to the Maharal's understanding, what Chazal is telling us with regard to the Sumo. No, so the Maharal agrees it's one ladder. All he's saying is that if you look in the Medrash, the Shaila is, where was the ladder, that one ladder placed? Either that one ladder went from the base, in his vision, went from the Beis HaMikdash up to Beis El, or from Be'er Sheva up to the Beis HaMikdash, but it wouldn't be shaykh that, so in other words, if you and I want to get from Be'er Sheva to the base, to Beis El, you and I would have to take two ladders. Again, whatever that means exactly, right? It would be a two-part trip to be able to get all the way, you know, from such a material place to such a spiritual place. Only Rashi, you know, conceives of the distance as something that could be traversed by a single ladder. But for sure, in the Chalom that he had, in the vision, it was only one ladder.
It was really,
that is a question.
There's no aspect of it being a dream, because
of
the dream you can contemplate anything, no
matter who you are. Right, but it's more than just a revelation which is being given to Yaakov Avinu at this point. Okay, we'll pick up after my Be'ezus Hashem with a different Maharal, a little bit of a shorter Maharal, a little bit more down to earth, if you will, and we'll continue at that part. Welcome to the second part of the Maharal Parshas Vayetzeh. There's a short piece from the Maharal which I think is valuable largely because of a yediyah that it gives us, you know, a certain piece of knowledge which I think without the Maharal's insight we wouldn't necessarily have, and it's far more down to earth than the last Maharal which we did, which again is, you know, kind of up there. So again, the Parshas Vayetzeh describes the birth of 11 out of 12 of the Shvatim, the children of Yaakov Avinu. And it says in Perichol Tes Pasuk Lamedalid, as Leah is having her, you know, her first children, Vatar Od Vatela Dain, Leah gave birth to a son. Tome Ato Atam Yilove Ishi Elai, Kiyolatati Lo, Shlosh Ovonim, Alkem Kroshmo Levi. Now, says Leah, my husband will certainly attach himself to me because I have given him three children. And that's why she called his name Levi, Miloshem Yilove. You know, Levi means to accompany or to be attached to someone. That's why this third child was named Levi. What's the significance of this statement? Now I know that my husband's going to come to me because I gave him three children. What? Huh? What's that?
One child
each hand, so yeah, but in that case he might run in the other direction, you know. You know, Yivrach Ishi Mimeni, I don't know. So Rashi writes over here as follows. Latisha ha'imahos nivios hoyu. You should know that the imahos, you know, the matriarchs, were all nivios, they were all prophetesses. The Yodos Shishemos Ashvatim Yosim Yaakov, the Arba Noshim Yisa. They knew that Yaakov was destined to have 12 tribes. They knew that he had married four wives. Amra, Me'ata Emo Piskonte Olai, Shere Natati Kochelki Babanim. So that's what Leah means when she says, my husband will certainly cling to me. Now that I've borne him three children, I've done my share. We know that she's going to go on to do more than her share, right? She's going to have the half of the 12, six out of the 12. But at this point, she says, I've done my share. I know that there are going to be 12 Shvatim. I know that there's four of us. Each of us has a share of three. So, you know, I've done mine. So, you know, my husband certainly can't run away from me, you know, in that fashion. Good. The Gur Aryeh on the Rashi raises a problem, which, if you know Gemara and Megillah, you know, should be a striking kasha. Writes the Maharal, who was Herek Kama de Megillah, the Choshev Zion Nevios, the Lo Choshev Leah of the Rachel. Right? It's Gemara Megillah that goes through the 48 Nevi'im, and it says, and there was Zion Nevi'os, there were seven prophetesses, right? Many of our children had to learn the list, you know, for their, as, you know, Yedios Klolios, so all of these sort of things, right? So, of the Imahos, the only one who's listed in the list of the seven is Sara Imenu. Right? Rivka's not mentioned, Rachel's not mentioned, Leah's not mentioned. So what do you mean, Rashi, ha Imahos Nevi'os Hayu? That the Imahos were Nevi'os. Now the truth is, in theory, Rashi's comments could be restricted to Rachel and Leah, right? Because Rivka's ability to be a Nevi'ah is really irrelevant to this Rashi. But A, Rashi uses the Lashon Imahos, right? It doesn't sound like he's only referring to Rachel and Leah. He's referring to the Imahos in general, which would seem to include Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and Leah. And clearly, Rachel and Leah are included in Rashi's remarks, and Rachel and Leah are certainly not on the list of the seven in Megillah. So how do you reconcile the fact that Rashi is calling Rachel and Leah at the very least, and maybe Rivka as well? Nevi'os, don't be bothered, says the Maharal, even though he points out that this kasha was asked by Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi. Don't be bothered by the kasha. Hashem lachashiv rak osam shenivu osam mefurash bakosuf. When the Gemara Megillah lists off the seven Nevi'os, it means the seven Nevi'os whose Nevi'os are actually spelled out in the Chumash or in the Tanakh itself. Shisar Nikris Yitzka, Shahoysa Socha Beruach HaKodesh. Where do we find that Sarah as a Balas Nevuah is described explicitly as such in the Chumash? So again, as we had a few parashiyos ago, Chazal identifies Sarah with Yitzka. Yitzka is Socha Beruach HaKodesh. She is able to see things through Ruach HaKodesh, so that's the place where Sarah as a Nevi'ah is so-called directly. So, old man, I call us Tomarilecha Sarah Shema B'Kola. Furthermore, the Pasuk also says, when Avraham Avinu is tamed by Sarah's desire to send away Hagar and Yishmael, no, whatever Sarah tells you, listen to her, and Rashi over there writes, because Avram's standing as a Navi was inferior to that of Sarah. So the Pasuk itself, in a certain way, references the idea that Sarah is a Navi, so that makes it into the list in the Gemara and Megillah. Mizel Oman is Shari Avram Tavalu Sarah Benadis. Havel Nevuah, Rachel Veleah lo Nechtu Bat Sarah. But this idea that Rachel and Leah had Nevuah is not mentioned in the Torah, not directly, and not even indirectly. So therefore, that doesn't make the list. That we have to say that they were Nevi'os, because otherwise, what does it mean? Right? It can only be explained in saying that Leah had a certain degree of Nevuah, that she foresaw, you know, the 12 Shvatim and all of that. But again, the Nevuah itself is really not even referenced obliquely by the Pasuk over here. So, you know, Rachel and Leah don't make the list. Everyone on the list has a Nevuah associated with them, you know, mentioned by the Tanakh explicitly. So when the Gemara Megillah talks about the Zion Nevi'os, really the better way of describing the list would be, these are the seven Nevi'os whose Nevu'os are referred to in Tanakh. Right? There were many more, or there were at least more, whose Nevu'os are not referred to in Tanakh, but, you know, these are the seven whose Nevu'os are referred to in Tanakh. By the way, says the Maharal, in a similar fashion, the Gemara there in Megillah addresses the issue of the 48 Nevi'im. Because if you look over there in the Gemara Megillah, the Gemara says, you know, we have a tradition of the 48 Nevi'im. What, they were only 48 Nevi'im? Aye, we have a tradition that Harvei Nevi'im Amdu Lahem Yisrael Kiflayim Kiyotzei Mitzrayim, that there were twice as many Nevi'im for Klal Yisrael as the Yotzei Mitzrayim, as the 600,000 Jews who left Mitzrayim. So in other words, there were, you know, 1,200,000, you know, over a million Nevi'im who prophesied to the Jewish people. So what are you giving me this list of 48? There were really over a million. El Nevuah Shosrachol Azaris Nechtevah, Mishalot Shosrachol Azaris La Nechtevah. But rather, says the Gemara, The 48 Nevi'im means those who gave Nevuah that was necessary for all the future generations, not those that were only necessary for the here and now. So a similar kind of teretz pertains to the Zion Nevi'os, says the Maharal. Zion Nevi'os is not an exhaustive list of all of the prophetesses that ever existed in Jewish history. No, there were more, maybe many more. At least the Imos were also considered to be Nevi'os. However, a Nevuah, someone whose quality as a Nevi'ah was referenced in the Tanakh directly, was recorded in that list. The others were not. So, this is an interesting idea from the Maharal. You know, the list of the Zion Nevi'os, which were often taught as children, you know, may not be as exhaustive or as comprehensive as we sometimes think it is. Here, Rashi himself identifies Rachel and Leah as being Nevi'os, and presumably there may be many more as well. Okay, we'll pick up as Hashem next week with the Maharal next week.